Oh yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
We're back, baby.
Yeah. One weekend only. Kid seats are still just $5.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. If your children are listening to this and you haven't paid us $5,
we're coming for you.
We're coming for you. We know who you are.
Yeah, watch out. I got a lot of afternoons free here.
Yeah, and we don't have a lot of listeners, so it's a short list. And we know most of you personally.
Damn right.
Yeah. Now adults are free, but children, it's going to cost you.
Children listeners, you're on notice.
Yep, that's all part of it. That's the business model.
Man.
Seniors actually cost money too. It's only adults up to, what do we want to say? What's our cutoff? What's our upper cutoff?
85?
That is generous, but okay.
I want to give my dad like another 15 years.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. When you said seniors, I was like, ooh, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's turning up like a quarter.
My mom and my stepdad were just in town, and we went to...
Now, that's a euphemism for what?
A number two.
Okay. All right. I wasn't sure if that was like a shit your pants, though. Like, I shat my pants at work type situation.
No, it's a number two, but you're kind of high.
Oh.
You
hadn't planned on it.
Yeah.
But it's a surprise. Jarred something loose. Yeah, okay.
You're like,
Hey,
I'll bring it back.
Hey.
But we went to Alcatraz, which I had not done. Everybody else had. My mom, stepdad, and Reagan had all done it. I had not.
Okay.
And so now I've done it. But when buying the tickets, their cutoff for being a senior is 63, I think, is when it starts being a senior.
Oh, they're following like the French protest thing?
Well, I think they are. It is a national park. And so I believe that is the national parks cutoff. Because once you're a senior in the national parks, you can buy a lifetime pass because they're kind of gambling on you dying.
And not just driving around in a camper for the next 30 years.
Yeah.
All right.
And but my mom's birthday is in 3 days from today. It was exactly 1 week after we went to.
Happy birthday.
And so.
Mrs. Ben?
And I was just like, hey, Reagan, I could save us another $3 if I say my mom's a senior, even though she won't be here for another week. And Reagan was like, you should probably never tell your mom that she's a senior. I was like, you're probably right. So my stepdad was a senior. The rest of us were young, active adults.
All right. Nice.
Yeah.
How'd you feel about being an adult?
Well, my first act as an adult was I went to a prison. So.
All right.
Where...
A lot of adults go there. I'm not gonna lie.
You know, I've seen The Rock, of course, fantastic film. And what I didn't know that you would do at any point in designing a prison is so they got like the warden and his family lived there in like a house, and it was directly next to this big control room where they had all of the Tommy guns, and like
that seems so far you're making sense.
Yeah. But the door from the Tommy gun building that faced towards the warden's house, the prisoners could still come in and out. It wasn't just the Tommy guns in there. It was like, it was called like the control building or something.
Yeah, it also had HR.
Yes, effectively. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. On the outside, above the door, there was like an eagle, but like a sculpture kind of flying out over the door. And then beneath it had like a scroll thing, and then like a shield that was the American flag, and the red and white stripes were vertical, and the white stripes were just white stripes, and the red stripes were the letters F-R-E-E.
Free.
Yeah. Above a jail.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, it's just better than work makes you free.
That was the first thing I thought of.
Exactly, right? It's like, well, it's better than one thing I've seen at a prison camp.
Yeah. Really kind of associated it, put it in a different light almost instantaneously to me.
It's an American spin on that. It's like, hey, you're in jail on an island, like maximum security prison. Here's a little Americana for you. Free.
Yeah. Another thing, And I don't know if you're aware of this. They do something every year here called the Escape from Alcatraz Triathlon. Where
I've heard about like at least a swim from the guy.
Yeah. You start. Oh, hello, Yeti.
Oh, hey, early, just, man. Dude, we
just bursting in.
Yeah, we're supposed to like bring you on, and it was after the first commercial break. Come on.
I haven't intro'd you yet, buddy, and the dryer's on, so dude, maybe the listeners get to hear our energy-efficient dryer.
All right.
Who knows? It is cooler, though, now that he's opened the door. That's nice. But what the fuck was I talking about? Something about Alcatraz.
The triathlon.
Right. So at the beginning you start swimming on Alcatraz. You swim to San Francisco, then you get on a bike and you do the bike part, then you get off the bike and you run. But it's basically like the thing that was famously unswimmable, they're like, we're going to have hundreds of people do that every year. Fuck you. Like, I mean, sure, a lot of them have wetsuits, but not all of them.
Okay. All right.
Some of them just go in like trunks. And
do you guys got sharks over there?
Yeah.
Nice.
In fact, you can see, it sounds like Farallon, but it's not. There's the something islands that's not the Farallon Islands, but it's a similar sounding word that you can see on a clear day, which is rare, from Ocean Beach. And that is the densest population of great white sharks in the world.
All right.
And you can see that. That's like, if you ever seen the photos of like the great white sharks where they're like leaping out of the water, like snagging a seal.
And it's not in South Africa, it's over there.
It's over there. Yeah. If there's like a tiny, if there's like some tiny rocky islands in the background, that's that.
Nice. All right.
Yeah. So I don't think they go into the bay much, but like nothing stopping them.
It's true.
Other than lack of dudes.
All right. Stay with me here. And it's not Alcatraz based, but it's still swimming in your bay based.
Okay.
A real test of athleticism. Now stay with me here, but would be swimming across the Golden Gate, like underneath of that bridge, you know, because the tide goes in there pretty fast, in and out. We might be having technical difficulties. I don't know. I can't read that word. What's that word? Yeah. What's up?
Mine, my audio fucked up. Keep recording. My audio fucked up again.
All right. Weird.
So, yeah, I think when I tapped my mic there, it shut off. Anywho, I missed everything that you just said.
All right. Sweet.
I am so sorry.
No, that's fine.
So I missed a full minute.
All right. So I was thinking that the true test of athleticism in San Francisco Bay would be swimming across the Golden Gate, like underneath of that bridge, you know, fighting them currents. Like that's, you know, all right, like whatever. You didn't even have to escape from the prison. All you had to do was swim off of it. Like,
yeah,
the prison escape is the hard part. The swim is supposed to be the easy part. And that's why they put it there, because like escaping a prison is difficult. And then you have to swim. Like that would suck.
Yes, that's true.
But these guys don't have to escape. So, yeah, either make them escape the jail or make them swim across Golden Gate. Those are my two options for saying, yeah, you're a good athlete.
That's pretty reasonable, I would say. That's reasonable.
Or good prison break artist, I guess, an escape artist.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, really dumped a lot of skill points into those stats.
Yeah, so that was Alcatraz.
That's pretty cool. No, it's not cool. I mean, The Rock is cool, right?
The Rock is so good, dude.
Yeah.
I was hanging out with young Tim and handsome Gary and another dude who I like over the weekend, but like you haven't met him. He's just a dude. He's a good dude.
Yeah, I trust you.
We were having a guy heaven over at Tim's place on Saturday.
Dude's Paradise.
Brought Yeti, volume on the TV all the way up, lights all the way down. Nobody walking in going, it's dark in here, or it's too bright, or I can't hear it, or it's too loud. Just extremes, solid extremes. He bought a big sandwich. It was great. But we
like
went
a party
down
a, sandwich?
Yeah, like one of them long subs.
Awesome.
Yeah. And he bought it when his wife left town. And so by the time we got there, there was only like 8 inches of it left. Like he'd just been eating this fucking sandwich.
That's better than Homer Simpson.
Yeah?
He had that thing till it started growing like mushrooms.
Oh, no. Tim didn't give it a chance to grow anything. He got in there.
Good.
It was, good. I got to say.
What kind of sandwich?
Cold cut, but like good thick bread.
All right.
It was nice.
Nice.
I like when those long subs change over the course of the sandwich.
You mean it goes from like birds to pigs?
Yeah, that's fun.
It's like, hey, here's some chicken. We'll start with a little buffalo chicken and then oven roasted turkey.
Yeah.
And then you get like a bologna.
Ooh.
And then you go into like the heavy pigs, like the salami.
Heavy pigging.
Yeah. And then even like a roast beef, finish it off.
Absolutely. But while we were enjoying this delicious sandwich, we were going down a rabbit hole of like actors who had weird musical careers. And so we obviously started with Bruce Willis, which was a great one. There were a few of his music videos that I had not yet watched. Coming Right Up will always be my favorite, but we watched a couple others. And then, I'm blanking on the dude's name. So I confused him with Don Simpson because that's what led me here, was that Don Simpson is the producer, one of the producers of The Rock.
All right.
And, but it was, he's one of them, beautiful haired, he was married to Barbara Streisand for a while, did a duet with her. Give me a second. Also, we watched Kevin Costner.
Joe Cocker?
Barbara, how do you spell Streisand?
However they spell it in Streisand effect.
Mm,
I think it's
good.
E-I, Streisand.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Yep,
she's German, all right.
German
as Hollywood Germans.
Damn, she did a hell of a lot of duets. Don Johnson.
Okay.
Did you know Miami Vice guy? Yeah. Did you know he had a movie career or a music career?
I can't say that I did.
He's not that bad either. I mean, it's not good, but like, it's not that bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Jared Leto is obviously like a better like singer than he is an actor.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's more of a musician than had a movie career.
Yes. Now, how do you feel about like Ludacris or Mos Def?
That have just basically made the full switch.
Yeah,
like they're not really making music anymore.
Because I would argue
sometimes they produce.
Ludacris used to be good at acting and isn't anymore, but he is in extremely successful films. So
yeah, he makes money on those films.
Makes a lot of coin.
That's good. That's nice.
But we ended the evening. Or at least I ended my portion of the evening. We were watching videos of Steven Seagal playing music live because he's got, I mean, his whole shit is just fucked. But he's got
is
that
it
one
Cajun? Is he playing Cajun music?
Typically, the song that most people know about, the opening line is like "Me Wanda Punani." Like he uses like full on like
back to his roots.
Like it's like AAVE to an extent that it's uncomfortable to hear, but he plays guitar on all of his albums. And at this point it was now Young Tim, myself, and the aforementioned mystery guest who also plays guitar. So we have three people who ostensibly play guitar watching this, and we could not reach a quorum on whether or not it was actually Steven Seagal playing guitar in the music videos.
All right.
Yeah, we never got there.
Nice.
If you have any insight at home, if you've seen any of these, first of all, you should watch them. They're funny as fuck. He's sitting for most of them because...
Yeah, I can't say that I've watched any of them.
Yeah,
this,
buddy.
This sounds right up my alley, too.
It's so good. It's so, so good. And there's like... It's he's been doing it for like 20 years. So there's like... In the old ones, he still looks awful, but he's at least standing. And then you All right. can just watch as he ages and he just starts to sit and dye his hair darker and darker black.
Nice.
It's great. It's truly great.
Man.
Yeah.
Imagine if like Johnny Winter or like Edgar Winter dyed their hair. Like they didn't lean into the white winter guys.
Dude, it's so funny that you would bring that up. He's got a video where he's not the lead singer on this particular song, but the guy who is wearing a Johnny Winter t-shirt.
Ah, okay.
And I laughed at that, and Tim and his buddy were both like, I don't know what that is. I was like, ah, damn it.
Come on, guys.
You got to trust me. It's insane that you would wear a Johnny Winter t-shirt. Like, that's...
Right.
Or Winters, I guess. I think there's an S at the end. Regardless.
Nah, Johnny Winter. Edgar Winter Group.
Somehow being singular makes it worse.
Oh,
I can't tell you
winter.
Why.
It's not that bad. We've gotten through winter before. Been through many winters.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. The grain stores held out.
So, amongst everything else I want to hear from you, I need you to specifically tell me more about that headboard, buddy.
Okay.
This is like a month ago. I want to hear about that New Zealand band that you saw.
I saw a band open for Cake, and they happen to be from New Zealand.
Mm, okay.
Yeah. And
did you get the tree? Were you the guy who got the tree from Cake?
Nobody got the tree.
Nobody got the tree?
Yeah, because it was a lemon tree, remember?
Oh, yeah. You did tell me that. That's right.
Because, like, he was like, don't take it in and outside. Like, you plant it somewhere. Yeah.
I've been diving through their photos on Instagram now and just watching how, like, they post pictures with the people who get the trees, and they're like, we really hope that we get a picture of them planting it. And then half the time, they're like, hey, here's Steve from the fucking Bozeman, Montana show planting his tree. And then the other times you're just, I guess, left like, ah, damn it. Damn it, Mark from Illinois.
Yeah, come on.
You fucked
we
up.
We gave it to you. We
disappointed.
Gave it to
you disappointed Cake.
But yeah, the... Oh, no. So this wasn't opener for Cake. It was just Cake playing. No, the opener for the National, because we went to see the National at the same place, was a band called The Beths. Like many, many girls named Beth.
Oh, I've actually heard about this band just through that New Zealand podcast that I listened to.
Yeah, well, they said they were the National New Zealand band, or New Zealand's national band, and they were opening for the National. They had a big inflatable fish, because I guess they like fish down there.
I mean, I feel like people like fish everywhere.
Yeah, when you got water, you know?
Hell, even when you don't.
Wherever the edible critters are, you get at them.
Even
like
when
them.
You don't have water, you get yourself, you go. You had a nice Burger King in Iowa. Get yourself the spicy big fish sandwich.
All right.
Now we're talking.
Just saying, you're on a hot streak now. This is like 2 or 3 episodes mentioning.
Hey, maybe fish we're sponsored. Fast food. Maybe we're sponsored, and I haven't told you.
All right. I hope it's with imitation crab, the new McDonald's crab cake.
I don't understand why. We've talked about this before. We made the switch. It used to be when it was imitation crab in like sushi or something, they would say crab with a K, and we all knew what that meant.
Right.
But now they just call it crab, and it's not.
Yeah. Malt liquor it's like kind of beer. It's like beer that was poorly made.
Yeah. But tell me about that headboard, buddy. I don't know if we can post the picture. If you want to post the picture, you can, but that's a hell of a headboard.
Yeah. Well, this story has a couple of stops.
Yes,
of course. So Joan, I've been working a lot of Saturdays, and I tell Joan every time I pass like a yard sale or an estate sale, which is a fair amount, and she's like, I don't really care about yard sales, but something about an estate sale. It's like, whoa,
it does sound nicer.
Whose estate are we buying? Yeah. Where a yard sale is, hey, I don't want this shit, but I'm staying here, so come look at it in my yard. Where the estate sale is, I'm moving, I don't want any of this, so please come through the place that I am leaving and, you know, make an offer on whatever you see. So we were on our way to get my Costco card. And
I was getting my exciting.
Yeah, I know. We're members. Full, yes. Like, that's, yeah.
Yes.
The thing is, like, this Costco's set up. I don't know how Costco's are set up around the States. I've only been to a couple in my lifetime. But they definitely put, like, the, you know, impulse buys for us right at the front. Like,
whiskey, chips.
No, like, $15 pants.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
15, like, just pallets of $15 pants, like right as you walk in. I was like, oh man, they know what they're doing.
Yeah. And you can return those pants to up to a year and get yourself a brand new pair of pants.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks,
I worked,
Costco.
I worked with a guy who did that every year.
Sweet.
He bought one pair of $15 pants and just basically re-upped every year for free. He was a huge piece of shit.
Well, he had one thing figured out, at least.
I'd say that was the beginning and end of things he had figured out. But anyway, nice. You're on your way to become a member of the greatest club in the world.
Yeah, the lady who took my picture was pissed at how good my hair looked. And I was like, man, I don't really care. And Jonah was like, you see what I have to deal with? And I was like, this is what happens when you just don't cut it for 14 months.
Yeah, you can't tell the ladies that, especially when they're like, what's your hair care regimen? And you're just like,
head and shoulders.
Whoa. Two in one.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I have to apologize more about my hair, honestly. But anyway.
I'm sorry, like, it's this great.
Dude, I mean, like, I look good on the Costco card. But that's neither here nor there. When we were on our way back from Costco, now we're in Connecticut. We're over the line because we're near the border. But in Enfield, Connecticut, there was a hardware store that was closing, like some mom and pop, Ace, do it yourself, whoever. But I guess Rocky's got the stranglehold on like the franchise hardware stores out here in Western Mass. But this place, they had like, I think, 4 days left, and we were there on a Saturday. So closing midweek, whatever, who knows? But it said 90% off everything in store. So it's like, cool, I'm in. Like, let's go find some stuff. Yeah, yeah, and I'll tell you that we got $51 worth of stuff. But 40 of those dollars was one of those rotating displays because they were selling all the fixtures and racks too. So I got something. I think I was telling you after we finished recording last week. But if you've ever heard of the Big Green Egg,
yeah,
it's like some sort of smoker grill type dealy. But I guess there were a lot of accessories that went with it. So this was like one of those displays that has wheels and kind of spins around and would hold all the accessories for the Big Green Egg.
So
heating system or food warming system. One of the tags, because I got all of the racks and shit, so like they still have like the tags and the prices for shit, but like one of the temperature probes is like $99. It's like, I don't know, I had never even heard of the Big Green Egg until I brought this thing home.
Oh, they're very popular out here.
Oh yeah, you got a lot of Big Green Eggs.
Well, they're small is the thing. They have a small footprint.
Oh, so, okay.
Like, there's not room for like Traegers or a traditional style smoker, like an offset smoker, in most people's yards. But a Big Green Egg, you can fit that in there.
Okay.
I mean, this is a compliment, but it's the lazy man with a small yards smoking solution.
All right.
I think they're quite expensive though. Like, I think that's another thing.
Yeah. Of the shit was quite pricey, but like the temperature probe for 99, it's like, come on.
That's a lot.
I have a couple of K-type like temp probes just from working in industries where I needed them, just lying around. Not everybody has a Fluke 52, but I do.
Ooh, I think I know what that is.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
So we bought like $11 worth of 90% off stuff, which was like a dimmer switch, which was listed at like 20. So we got it for like, I don't know, 250 or something.
Now, doing some quick math, that means it's at least a $12 value. Is that correct?
Yeah, at least.
Sick.
Sick.
What type of dimmer switch did you go for? The circular rotational kind or like the slidey?
The one that they had.
Ooh.
Because the store was pretty picked over. But the one that they had was the large switch, like the large easily moved switch with like the tiny little dimmer knob thing right on the one of the side of them. But but the nice thing about this switch, it's got one of those like lights that lights up behind the switch. It's got that translucent glow, like Tinkerbell is stuck inside of the light switch. Yeah.
That is nice.
Yeah. Well, it's exactly what I was looking for, because it's not like we don't live on a city street where, you know, there's a street light that illuminates enough of the room when you wake up in a dark.
What room is that going in?
Oh, it's already in the Asian Palace suite. Yeah.
Is that where the headboard ended up?
Oh, yeah. That's our headboard.
Hell yeah. So you're all staying in the Asian Palace suite.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Joan was lamenting about not being able to go to an estate sale. And I figured a consolation was that we would go to a hardware store closing sale. I'm like, whatever. So then that was Saturday. I filled up this cart. Like, it's now called the Danger Cart in honor of Aqua Teen Hunger Force, which I'm a big fan of.
Of course.
But yeah, I filled the middle of it because it's like metal grates that you can see through. All my sports equipment in the middle. And then just randomly hung tools from it. Like, most of the stuff on one side cuts and destroys, and most of the stuff on the other side, like, doesn't cut and destroy stuff.
Does it mend and put back together, or just sort of more esoteric? Okay, cool.
Well, also some sanders. Yeah. And then it's a triangle, so like I have it kind of stuck in one side of the basement, and on the back side is like tubes and chains and shit and rope.
You need tube storage.
Tubes, chains, and ropes, man.
Absolutely. Your cordage. Yeah. Things measured by the length.
You know, I'm glad I hung on to all this shit. Because now it can just be in my basement forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all. I inherited all of Reagan's dad's like jars of screws and things like that. And I've never felt more like a man.
Wow. You got the screw jars?
Yeah, dude. I left a couple of them there because I do the maintenance on their house.
Yeah, you can't take them all. Yeah.
And so he's like, hey, I think there's a couple peanut butter jars out there with screws in it. And I'm like, yeah, trust me. There's exactly two. I've taken the rest.
Nice.
Because you told me to. And he's like, yeah, no, I know.
Nice.
Yeah. It's good times.
On the Sunday, we were going to buy weed and saw that there was an estate sale. I mean, it was like four blocks from our place. So I was like, well, let's go buy the weed, which we did. And then went to the estate sale. Ended up with, I mean, not only a crazy, like, hand-carved Asian headboard that kind of looks like a doorway that Joan can fit through and I can't, but we also got, like, the best I could describe it is, like, clamshell seats, but they're not really, like, clams. They're more, like, if you sit in it, one of your elbows is going to be like regular height and the other is just going to be like on top of you, like above your head height. It's just like a spiral chair, but it kind of looks beachy. It looks like kind of like a shell, but it's like a padded chair.
So it kind of looks like like the inside portion of one of those spirally shells?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Hell yeah.
Yeah. So we got two of those.
Inside or outside chairs?
These are inside chairs.
Fuck yeah.
These are in our dining room now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a French Impressionist painting.
Monet?
Reproduction. No, it's a Renoir.
Ooh, I don't know who that is. Sounds French, though. I'll give you that. Sounds French as fuck.
He's a guy who hung out in Paris and then was like, you know what? I'm getting a little old. I need to move down by the coast.
Where the watermelons grow.
Yeah. No, I think he painted like a bunch of people on a boat, I think.
Mm. People do go on boats.
Cafe culture. He documented some cafe culture, definitely.
Ah, tiny cups.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Tiny cups, very sweet pastries.
Mm. Very French. Very French.
But yeah, so it was a very successful haul at the estate sale because we got not only the headboard but the bed frame, the box spring, and the mattress.
Fuck yeah, dude!
So it's a king size mattress too.
What? You've done it. You've arrived, man. Well, hell yeah!
All right, so this was this past weekend. The one that like just happened to us. Is tax-free weekend in Massachusetts. So we were planning to buy a king-size bed because it was going to be tax-free weekend. Bob's was advertising that, you know, if you come in during the week, we'll double the tax rebate. And I was like, all right, well, yeah, we'll come in, Bob. But still, like, just the bed frame alone was like 1500. And it's like, all right, yeah. Yeah, so after all said and done, I mean, you're talking $2,000 or more.
Yeah.
Yeah, mattresses ain't cheap. And not the big ones.
Yeah.
So yeah, we got a steal for like a quarter of the price.
That's incredible, buddy.
We're still house poor, but like feel a lot better about this house poor.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would love to get a king size bed only because it would make my wife stop asking me when we can get a king size bed. But nice. It would be our entire room. Our rooms are 10 foot by 10 foot. So
I mean, Joan definitely has to shimmy on her side of the bed, and my bedside table is actually like across, like where you would shimmy past.
Sure,
because it can't be in front of a closet door, so it has to kind of be far away. But I can reach it, so
that's good.
I have my side of the bed; she has her side. Yeah,
absolutely.
But yeah, so Joan. Actually, you know, kind of had like a denouement estate sale during the week as well that she had found. She said it wasn't as good, but she picked up a steamer trunk.
Because, oh, hell yeah.
Because we need one for the basement, I guess, to store all of our creepy shit.
Yeah.
But it has like tags from the guy who immigrated from Italy in the 60s. And Joan picked up, I don't think these were in the... I think they might have been some of them in the steamer trunks, but some of them out. But she also picked up some reading material for me at this estate sale. And it was, this was definitely like Joan had a 20 and saw a sign for an estate sale and was just like, I'll take all that stuff for 20. And they're like, yeah, whatever.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, steamer trunk. She got something else, but I got a Baseball Digest here from, let's see, it was. May 1977.
Fuck yeah! Who's that?
Yeah, the Giants are counting on John Montefusco. John Montefusco.
Well, I mean, he's a household name out here.
Yeah. Well,
you can't swing a dead cat in the Mission without hearing somebody talking about John Montefusco.
And on the back, of course, because baseball is for kids, you have a Winston cigarette ad.
Mm.
Don't worry.
Settle for anything less than taste.
My last surveying crew chief gave me a bunch of Baseball Digests that he had from the 70s when he was a kid. And don't worry, all of them have cigarette ads on the back. It's important.
Hell yeah.
It's very important. All right. So since the guy was coming from Italy, he had route maps. If this is an airline, Alitalia route maps.
Yep. Yeah. It still exists.
Okay. But yeah, all of the routes like go to Italy. Like it just comes from Italy. Like
that's just so nice.
everything radiates from Italy. They don't connect through anywhere.
That's so good. I think they may only be a train company now at this point, but the company definitely still exists.
Oh, they did the Pan Am to Amtrak switch?
I think something like that, yes.
Yeah. All right. She also got me a map of Europe, National Geographic map dated 68, which is nice. And then,
so what countries are we dealing with there? Like Czechoslovakia is still around, right? Or is it?
Yeah. I mean, they're kind of an SR. They're definitely in the sphere of influence. Yeah.
And
a lot of them have SSR or SR next to it.
Yeah. What was Yugoslavia doing at that time?
Yugoslavia was big. There was no Croatia. There was no Slovenia, no Bosnia or Herzegovina. There was no North Macedonia or Macedonia. Is there a Macedonia Albania. Anymore?
There's no Macedonia anymore. There's only Northern Macedonia.
Okay.
The Republic of Northern Macedonia.
It's like Timor. It's like there's only an East one, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Huh.
And there's no South Virginia, you know? Just nice. Just the classic and the West. Which is, of course, you know, kind of north and slightly west of some of West Virginia, but east of other parts of West Virginia.
It's true.
Or east of other parts of regular Virginia. Anyway, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Let's see this map.
Speaking of what you're saying, I got the map right here. I got your map right here. See that?
Oh, nice.
It says Europe.
That's a detailed map.
Came out of the magazine, probably. You probably bought one when maybe in the airport.
Sure.
But yeah, you can see how big Yugoslavia is there. See
that? Oh yeah, look at that.
Yeah. Really takes up the Balkans. Only Albania could withstand. Let's see. All right, moving along here is this is the History of the World Wars special. Weapons of the 1973 Arab-Israeli War, the Yom Kippur War.
Ooh.
This is $1.95 when it came out.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's got like a, you know, a breakdown of like
just the various planes and
yeah.
Wow.
I remember
kind of a weird
looking
thing to find with an Italian guy.
You figure he was just trying to absorb everything that was going on.
Sure.
And so he was just like, people seem to be freaking out about stuff in the Middle East over here. So I guess I gotta brush up. So I'll get the weapons of the 1973. I think this thing came out probably a couple years after the war.
I would imagine, yeah.
Maybe this was like a coffee table purchase. You know, he just wanted to stir conversation.
He was like, this is probably going to be the last time there's going to be any sort of kerfuffle in the Middle East.
Right.
So
exactly.
I'll get a nice commemorative booklet.
Yeah.
And put it on the coffee table. We can all talk about it. We go, oh, remember when there was instability in portions of the Middle East caused by major world powers having proxy wars there? Everybody would go, I don't remember that. When would that have been? It's not now. When would that have been?
And you go, it was the first century AD. I don't know if they called themselves the Persians then, the Parthians, Sassanids, Scythians, something like that. But yeah, them putting heads with the Romans, yeah.
James is going to crack open some history facts on all you bitches.
Well, I mean, I guess I will. This is, I guess, historically maybe not significant, but poignant. The last thing that she got was Notes for Newcomers, which is a 1962 English book, but its aim is to help newcomers to the city of Milan, a guide to Milan for newly arrived British and American citizens.
That rules.
Yeah, dude.
That's incredible. What language is it in?
It's in English.
Okay.
Yeah, so it kind of tells you about like the customs and like getting around and shit. But there was a spot that talked about like dogs and pets. Dogs in Italy must be kept on a leash, blah, 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 blah. All right. There are three categories into which various breeds are divided in Italy. There are three classes of dog.
Sick.
In Italy.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
You know this? Yeah. Have you heard this? Are you here in Italian class yet?
No, we haven't gotten to the three types of dogs yet.
Okay, well, you can tell me which one Yeti is.
Okay. Right,
the first is the Cane di Lusso, which is a dog kept solely as a pet. The second is the Cane di Caccia, or the hunting dog. And the third is the Cane di Guardia, or the watchdog. And the amount of tax varies according to the type of dog. 6,000 lira being the maximum, which is the price of the Cane di Lusso tax.
Can you tell me how to spell di Lusso?
It's D-I space L-U-S-S-O. Di Lusso, not Lusso. Sorry. I was adding a little Italian flair, though. Di Lusso.
Gotcha. Because that was a word I was not familiar with, and I see why.
It's probably luxury.
It means luxury, yeah.
Okay.
So dogs there's of luxury. Luxury dogs.
You have a dog of luxury.
Hunting dogs. And what was the third one?
My dog of hunt and my dog of guardia.
Oh, yeah.
So guardia.
It'd be guardia, which both means to guard and to watch. They're the same word. And to guar.
Nice.
But yeah, so Yeti would definitely be a cane di guardia.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
He would not be a luxury dog. Which is funny because his breed, which is Cane Corso or Cane Corso, which is how it gets pronounced over here, literally just means dog running, like a dog that runs, which the vaguest name and also not particularly accurate. They don't run, like, compared to dogs, they really don't run that much. They're mastiffs. They're not known
compared to Italians.
Yeah, I guess. But compared to, like, an Italian greyhound, they don't do a goddamn thing. Like, those dogs run.
You do have a point there.
They're like, it's a me. I'm a small. I'm a runaway.
Yeah.
Italian greyhounds are tiny.
Nice. Yeah. All right. Well, I haven't read through this entire thing, but Joan did find something else on domestic servants.
Fuck.
Yeah. So the lead in, because they have like a bunch of like numbered sections for the, or like numbered statements basically about domestic servants. But
you said this was
domestic
from 68?
Servants, 62, I think.
60s. Okay. I mean,
but like the 60s.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, so servants can be found in Italy, though this is becoming more and more difficult in Milan, since so many factories offer employment to women.
Oh. I'm taking so much damage.
It doesn't get any better.
Oh, no.
No, experience has shown that it's sometimes easier to find a married couple.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
And have them both be,
or just you know, marry. Like, if you can't get a domestic servant, like, just get a wife. I actually don't know what that statement means.
I'm down to like one hit point left.
Yeah. Right. All right. I won't give you too much more.
No. Keep going.
Yeah. It's weird that they go into specifics of like allowance for food, like stipend in lira, like the most unstable like currency known to man.
That ain't good.
The servants underage, if you have an underage servant, you must have written declaration from the parent or the legal guardian given consent. This document must have a visa from the mayor of the town in which the servant resides, and the employer must advise the servant's parent or guardian beforehand if he intends to dismiss her. So, like, everything that refers to servants is referring to her, like, or she.
Hell yeah.
That's why it doesn't get any better. But what I thought was funny was this they give you like stats on Milan in the beginning of this book, and it says Milan has 1.6 million people. So if you want an underage domestic servant that lives in the city of Milan, you're going to have to get a visa from the mayor of Milan.
Yeah.
Why does the mayor have to know about your underage servants, but like, why also are you getting underage servants?
These are both good questions.
Italy seems fun.
I just Googled it. Milan has doubled in population since then, which is, I guess, really not all that much.
Oh, really? They don't have white flight over there? They didn't experience that in the 60s?
I have no idea. I know they had a couple World Wars that knocked them down. And then that kept the population in check. And then, I don't know. I think they are having like a population crisis because everyone's moving to the cities and everyone's abandoning their little towns there.
They don't have farmers?
I think they got farmers, but all the farmers are like 80.
Oh, okay.
And so they're like, we're not going to have farmers for much longer. Like,
yeah.
We got them
now.
And
they don't like immigrant labor either.
They really don't.
That's so different from like 2,000 years ago, huh? Right? Like Rome was so open.
I know.
Yeah.
It was just
what a shame.
Remember when like it was a fun fact for a while to be like, we don't know how the Romans made their concrete because it doesn't crack. And then like 6 months ago, science was like, we fucking figured it out, bitches. Fuck you. No one gets to say that fun fact at a party anymore. No one.
Yeah, we didn't. And Pluto used to be a planet, dickheads.
What is Pluto? Is it a planetoid? Is it a planet-like object? What is it classed as?
Sure. It's, I mean, planetoid.
Does it exist? Does it,
yeah. But its orbit is not on the axis of like all the other planets.
Look, its orbit sucks. Somebody's got to say it. I'm willing to say it.
Yeah.
Pluto's orbit is ass.
Is that enough to strip it of its title? Like, come on.
Look, yes.
I was there on the Magic School Bus video game, Sega Genesis. I was there. Bro. Pluto.
Magic School Bus.
I went to all the planets.
Miss Frizzle. Carlos?
Sure. I was just glad we didn't have to go inside somebody's body, because that episode was gross.
Yeah, wasn't it one of the other kids who was like sick and couldn't go on the field trip?
Yeah, and they came out of his butt.
Yeah, and don't they like fight some of the germs that he's sick with?
Well, when you go into somebody's body, you always have to fight shit.
Gotta fight shit.
Yeah.
Remember that, was it at Universal or Disney World or something? You got in that like 3D ride where you like went in through a needle and you like fought a splinter or some shit?
Yeah, Body Wars.
Was it really called Body Wars?
I believe so. Body Wars.
Jesus.
That was part of like the health like angle that Disney was trying to have in one part of their park. I follow this internet documentarian who has a series called Abandoned, just about like massive projects that just get abandoned, like, you know, million and
Hell
billion
yeah.
dollar pro- yeah. So,
hell yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, there ends up being a lot of Disney shit on there because they own like a shitload of land that they develop, and sometimes it doesn't pan out.
Yeah. There's that, they have like an island amusement park next to Disney World that's been shut down for decades that people still swim out to.
Right.
And there's like alligators that live in the, it's like a significant swim. There's like alligators in there, and then because it's Florida, there's also, and it's like a man-made body of water. There's like, you know, it's not getting cleaned. So there's the like the flesh-eating amoebas live there, and then they get over there, and it's just like overgrown admin buildings for roller coasters.
Right?
Yeah. Like,
they just had infrastructure. Like, it's not cool. It's not like an abandoned resort that you're going to find that's haunted. No, it's like, oh, man, like they were pouring this concrete piling and then stopped.
Damn. Crazy.
Yeah. Look at how that rebar has rusted a little bit.
There's an empty pack of cigarettes from 1984. Sick. That's so nice.
But yeah, so one of the things he did was, I mean, he loves going to Disney. and just like looking at rides that get shut down too. So yeah, he looked at like the health and body, I guess part of the, I think it was Epcot, but
that
yeah,
feels
Body
like
Wars.
Some Epcot shit,
right?
Epcot was always trying to be educational.
Yeah, we'll bring you the world. It's like fuck you, sell me beer.
We made
with
a
your,
geodesic
with
dome.
Your Mickey money.
Goddamn Disney dollars.
I worked at a place where one guy was really proud to announce that part of the machine that they built also had material, or like the material that they used on one part of it was also the outside of Epcot. I was like, that's not cool.
That's nothing. That's nothing.
I think the outside of Epcot is like aluminum, two aluminum plates with like some sort of polymer in between. Supposed to be cool. Really good insulator, but also relatively thin. But yeah, pretty stupid. How much I know about the outside of Epcot because of that former colleague of mine. Thank you.
Somebody's got to know that stuff.
Ah, God. And now everybody can.
Yep. Yes, they can.
And you can too.
And you can too. Hey, before we wrap this up, I had a new food type, and I want to share it with you and the listeners.
Now in the food chain, I mean, what are we talking? Are we talking like genus? Are we talking like phylum or
this
species?
Is a hybrid. This is a cross species hybrid.
Okay.
And all right. I immediately regret saying that because it's going to make the next thing I say sound racist. But I'm not referring to these people as animals. Okay? It's Mexican sushi.
It's more
sushi.
Like an anamorph.
It's Mexican sushi.
Yeah, that's an anamorph.
Yeah. So picture this, Jimbo. You've got your classic sushi roll on a plate, but they've done it California roll style. So the rice is on the outside, seaweed on the inside, and then inside of that, creamed cheese. And obviously cooked shrimp. Then on the outside of the entire roll is like crab mixed with some sort of fat so that it could be spread upon the roll, the whole encasing the roll, and then grilled. And you know, sometimes they put the little like crunchy tempura bits on top of a sushi roll there.
Sure. Yeah.
Cubes of carne asada drizzled with a sauce.
Okay.
It was delicious. It was insane.
I'm still out, and I'll tell you why. Seaweed. It's like
you can't even taste it.
I don't like the taste of seaweed.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
But cream cheese inside of the seaweed, inside of the rice.
Yeah, I mean that's a common California roll move. That's the honky. That was invented for honkies in Vancouver, Canada, land of the honky.
Yeah, California, Vancouver, yeah. Canada, California.
It was a Japanese guy who invented it in Vancouver. So I'm not gonna knock him too hard for calling it a California roll and being in Canada, but I feel like he probably knew at the time because he's still alive. Like,
dude, I mean, talk about like misnamed places. Papa sent me a picture today of a hamburger place that he saw. Well. It's called Jimbo's Hamburger Place in New York that he saw. But underneath of Jimbo's Hamburger Place, it says, a famous place to get eggs and omelets. It's like, I thought they would have been a famous place for burgers.
Damn.
Man, I guess I gotta bump up my prescription.
Eggs and omelets at Jimbo's Burger Place.
Uh-huh. And it's a place to get.
Yeah.
A famous
place
to get.
That's also weird.
That they have place twice on the marquee.
Yeah. You think you could go with like spot or really instead of the first place, you could put anything. You could put diner. You could put nothing. You could just put Jimbo's Burgers. You don't even need.
Right.
You don't
right.
need a locale. You're there already. We know it's a place. We're here.
Uh-huh.
We're reading the sign.
Maybe they're trying to, beef up people's grammar. You know, not everybody knows the qualifications for a noun.
I'll tell you what they're not beefing up is these burgers, because apparently they're making omelets.
Yeah, but imagine, like, the arc of that restaurant. Like, how many owners have they had? Like, yeah. They might be on like their third or fourth Jimbo.
And we can't change the name, but we can't add to it.
Yeah. It's like, do you like making burgers? No, I do not. I like making eggs.
And then the next guy, do you like making eggs? Well, yes, but I prefer omelets. Like, I'd like to be more specific in my egg making.
How do you feel about burgers? I'm okay if it's on the sign.
Yep. I'll chop up a burger and put some in an omelet, if that's what you're asking. Is that what you are asking me?
Is that like, you know, one of them salad wraps? You get like an egg wrap?
Damn. Using like an omelet to just wrap up an entire burger patty?
Yeah.
I'd eat that.
I know you would.
I'd take that for a spin.
Yeah.
Treat an egg like a tortilla and have like a burger taco?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Or you could go like, you know, more like a burger sub. You know, cut the burger in half.
Sure. You could also go French omelet style. Yeah, French omelet style. So it's kind of rolled into a tube. That's got very little structure, though, famously. We've got to discuss our egg burger, but there's something here.
I don't think the French are natural engineers.
Probably not.
Yeah, and not to get racist or anything.
No, the French aren't people.
If we need somebody to smoke cigarettes, we'll call you.
You can only be racist towards people, so you can make fun of the French as much as you want.
All right, sweet.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully they retire when they want to.
Well, speaking of countries that don't need to exist anymore, let's land this pig.
All right.
Jimbo, you got any advice for a French person who wants to be accepted into the human race?
No, I only know how you can get an underage servant in Italy.
In 1962.
Yeah.
And as we say every week,
go fuck yourself.
God fuck us, everyone.